Blog Talk Radio.
The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Is January Jones. She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware. Because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Good day, everyone. I hope you're having a terrific day. I'm January Jones, and I'd like to welcome you to our podcast today. As you can see, I'm wearing my bright pink glitter hat, getting ready to launch my new brand, Glitter Granny Gifts. I will be selling books, products, on all things that glitter and glow at Amazon.com. And we'll be launching Glitter Granny, I think, pretty soon, first week in June. So I'll keep you all posted on it. Right now, for my listeners, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of YouTube? I hope you have. I know all of our grandkids have heard of that for sure. They're probably all on it. Would you like to learn how you can subscribe to YouTube, how you can enjoy it and learn more about it? Today, we're here to tell you just how to do it. Then you can follow our guest and me too, because I happen to be on YouTube. Tell me, have you ever thought about being an internet celebrity or an influencer? I think we all have in some way. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of an amazing book entitled Being a YouTuber, One Creator's Bumpy Road to 1 Million Subscribers? 1 million subscribers. Yes, you heard me. If you can answer yes, or maybe to any of these questions that I've asked you, then you are in the right place. And I'd like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Senior Success Stories. Now it's time, rest, relax, go get a glass of wine, get some crackers and cheese, and join us in the no wine zone. When most of us think of YouTube, we think of stars and celebrities. But my guest is living proof that you don't have to be a millennial to be a huge success on that trendy YouTube channel. Our guest today was nearing her midlife crisis in 2022 when her YouTube channel hit 1 million mark. And then a month later, she turned 50. Now, when you're 80, someone turning 50 is really, really young. So I'm thrilled to have her with us today. She is an English language teacher and author of Being YouTuber, One Creator's Bumpy Road to 1 Million Subscribers. Welcome to the show today, Jennifer Labidi. How are you doing, hon?
I'm doing great, January. How are you today?
Oh, good. I hope I pronounced your last right.
That's a tough one. Lebedev.
Lebedev. Oh, I didn't get it. I'll work on that. So let's talk about Jennifer and tell us where your success story began, where you were born, and give us a little background.
Well, I hesitate to call the whole life a success. It's success in progress.
I agree. I'm still working on it.
You know, the one book is, I'm still in the next, writing the next part of it. But it all began in Pennsylvania. I'm originally from Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania. I was born and raised in Pittsburgh. And then in a roundabout way, I am now up in New England. I am based in Massachusetts.
Yes.
And I am an English language teacher, and I didn't quite know what path I was taking immediately, although, January, there are two things I was pretty certain about. I wanted to become a mother at some point in my life, and I wanted to be a teacher. And well, I was in college, and I made the decision to become a teacher. And I think it was before then that there were signs that this was the profession for me. So some people know, you know, immediately, I'm going to be a doctor when I grow up, whatever. But that thought didn't crystallize until college. But before then, there were some signs. There were. For a time, though, it's funny, I was so afraid of public speaking, like just getting up in front of a crowd. I would avoid it at any cost, especially in school. But then there were some challenges that I faced, and it became easier. But I remember in ninth grade, there was this assignment in English class. I remember this. 5 minutes. That's it. You just had to get up for a 5-minute presentation on a topic of your choice. I was so afraid of doing this. I thought of even going to the teacher and telling her, I can't do this. And I was like, okay, but I had no choice. I kept preparing. I got my index cards ready like everyone else. And it was the day of my presentation. And I was called to the front, stood up there, 20 some other kids in the class, teacher in the back, ready to evaluate me. And then something funny happened. I realized I wanted to do this. And I thought, 5 minutes is not even enough. I was excited about the topic that I chose, and I wanted to tell everyone about it. And that sort of continued. By the time I hit 11th grade in history class, we had to choose another topic. It was this time a country of your choice. And I chose my father's home country. He was from the Philippines. And I don't even remember what the time limit was. I just know that I needed the whole class period, and he gave it to me. I wanted to tell everyone what I had researched, what I discovered. I talked about the history, the politics, the religion, the culture, the cuisine. I even threw in the national dance at the end because I was part of this youth group that had been performing dances. The point is that I discovered that when you love something and find something interesting and have, you see value in it, you have this desire to share it in some sort of way. And I think that's eventually what led to me being a teacher. Like, I know that I know something. I think it's of value to others, and I'm excited to share it. But how I chose foreign languages is yet another part of the story, if you care to hear it.
No, this is wonderful. I'm enjoying this story you're telling. And I have to throw in the fact that my three daughters have requested me to finally write something about myself, because they said, we're tired of you writing about Jackie Kennedy. You need to tell your story. So I've started working on a memoir, a private one. And I went back, interestingly enough, to people who influenced my life. And guess what? It was third grade, Mrs. Maloney, my English teacher. And here I am at 80 with 6 books behind me and who knows what else. And I still have to think of her. So what an incredible opportunity to influence young people.
It is. It is. The teachers of our youth especially had such an impact, hopefully for better, not for worse. But I remember all my teachers, and I was very blessed to have some inspiring ones. But, you know, although I will say the part two of that story is why teach English as a second language, because I thought when I got certified, I was certified to teach Russian as a foreign language, and I was thought I would be teaching in my home state of Pennsylvania. I got my certification, and then I thought, well, I need more fluency, because although I was certified, I knew I needed more proficiency. So I applied to grad school. My studies took me over to Russia, and although I didn't plan to stay long term, that's what I did. Life took a turn, and I started teaching English as a foreign language and really loved it, really enjoyed the experience of it. And when I came back to the U.S. several years later, I got recertified to teach ESL, which is English as a Second Language.
Okay.
And partly why I chose a foreign language is, although I really did love my school experience overall, I was such a diligent student. Those who remember will know I studied my heart out, and I got stellar grades. 6 years of French studies, I found myself in Paris for the first time, and I couldn't function.
Really?
I couldn't. And I thought, okay, so I got straight A's in French, and what's up with this? Because I could read, I could write, I could translate, I knew the grammar and vocabulary, but it was the way I was taught. There wasn't an emphasis on communication. And so that was the issue. And I thought, so my desire to teach a foreign language or a second language is to help people avoid what I went through. I want them to feel comfortable and confident to start communicating with whatever they know from day one, even with hi, hello. So that's something that I've been doing as a language learner myself, and what I try to help others do is start using the language and get over the fear of speaking it. Oh, I need to wait. No, you don't need to wait. You can start on day one in a beginner class, you know, to start using the language. And it's exciting as long as you have the support and the guidance. Yes.
Yeah, to help you along the way. Interesting. How long did you live in Russia?
About 5 years.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. We were fortunate enough to be in the UK for 1 year with my husband's work, and we were able to travel all over and to be there for 5 years. Wow, that's such an amazing transition. You were very lucky to have that experience, don't you agree?
I do. I think especially as a language teacher, especially since English is my first language, it's not enough just to have that as my native language and then know how to teach it, but I think there's an emotional component to what I do. I need to empathize with my students, and I know what it's like to learn a foreign language, and I've done it different ways. So I've had my French experience, then I started learning Russian. I had a couple years of Japanese. I've dabbled in other languages, and I would give a message to anybody at any age out there, especially 50 and older, it is never too late. I started learning Spanish in January this year, and I'm so happy that I moved up a new level in 5 months. I went from the foundations course to the beginner's course. But the idea is that I wanted to learn some Spanish, and I told myself, I know I'm busy, but I can do this. And I'm not going to use the excuse of I'm too old, I'm too busy, da-da-da. I said, I can do this. I'm going to work Spanish into my my lifestyle right now, and I'm learning Spanish and loving it, but also it helps me remember what it's like to be a beginner in a language. It's very humbling.
Well, you know, talking about humbling, if you're a whiner or you know a whiner, this book is for you. We'll be right back.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Whine Zone with Jennifer, who is not a whiner because she is a winner. Now, Jennifer, before we go on, I have to do this before I forget. I want you to share your information and share with our listeners how they can subscribe, how they can buy your book, and how they can share your experience.
Sure. So online, I am under the name English with Jennifer. So pretty much in any platform, you can find me. So my website is englishwithjennifer.com, and that's for students and teachers, anyone interested in the work that I do. And there are links to my book there, too. And then I'm on Instagram, English with Jennifer Lebedev, and Twitter and Facebook. I'm actively posting on Instagram and YouTube. And where else? LinkedIn. Anyone? For professional connections, reach out, feel free to. And on Amazon, just look up Being a YouTuber, One Creator's Bumpy Road to 1 Million Subscribers.
And I have to share with my listeners that that book will be featured at Glitter Granny's Gifts, because I feature all of the books of the many, many authors who have been on my show, because those are the books that I can personally recommend. And they're great books to give or to get. And what an inspiration for the seniors who are listening to this show as far as taking up a second language. An exciting thing to do, and it's something you should consider. I know a lot of people think, oh, I can't do that. Well, here's the gal to show you how to do it. Jennifer, tell us how you got your start on YouTube. What took you from teaching in a classroom to being on the internet?
Well, I said I wanted to be two things, a mother and a teacher. So I became a mom. I was a mom of two. And I found myself wanting to teach because I had stepped out of the classroom to take on a book contract. And I really did try to consider and make it work to be a mom and go to a school and commute. And I had a wonderful employer who really tried to give me the amazing accommodations so that I could continue classroom teaching. But it was so mm-hmm. difficult. One of yeah. the biggest difficulties was really the commute. There was one night, I just remember how horrible the feeling was, because I was driving home at one point. This was before my daughter was born. My baby was in the back seat, my firstborn. I was so darn tired. I'm driving down. It's dark out. I'm like cracking the window, slapping my face, biting my tongue because I need to be alert. And the thought, yes, was in my head, this is dangerous. Why am I doing this? My baby is in the background. I don't think this is a good idea. Surely there has to be another choice. And that's hard when you're in any situation in life, you think there isn't a choice, but usually there is. You just have to look and maybe be a little creative in your thinking. And then somehow the universe does open doors to you. You just have to look. Doors, windows, cracks, look for them.
Walk through or just, how did the pandemic affect your career arch? Because I've talked to so many guests who prior to the pandemic were not at home. Then because of the pandemic, they took their careers and re-cybrated them, brought them back to being at home and working from home, which of course gives you more time with your family, doesn't it?
It does. I think now the pandemic has made, post-pandemic, there's more understanding for what I've been doing and what I've done. So for me, nothing really changed. But the point is, when I decided to stay at home and be with my children, because that's where I really wanted to be, I still wanted to teach. That's part of who I am. I want to teach. And I needed an outlet because there's that desire to share again. So YouTube was just starting, and the suggestion was made, why don't you experiment, put some videos up? I'm like, okay. So very, very raw videos were posted with me teaching, sharing what I knew, what I could. Back then, 2007, things were forgiving. So a lot of people did not have good audio or video quality. We just tried our best. And I just wanted to teach so much that I needed an outlet. And that was it. I decided to start experimenting on YouTube. And thankfully, the response was so positive. And I just made a promise. If you guys continue to study with me, I promise I'll learn to be a better video maker and transition to be a better online teacher. I know how to teach. I just have to learn how to do it in this new way. And that's how it began.
I mean, I know I'm on there too. And I have made my own videos. And I've got, 20 years of experimenting with this. Of course, this show now is on YouTube through the station Talk for TV, but I did a lot at home to begin with. Did you go take a special class to learn how to gain this?
No, I just picked up the camera. remember 2007, we weren't using smartphones back then for anything. Mm-hmm. I had a digital camera and it happened to have a video function. I didn't even have an external mic. It was built in. So the quality of audio wasn't that great. I wasn't mm-hmm. ready to invest. Also with the two kids, I couldn't get out of the home easily. I didn't even have a tripod. I was balancing my camera on like bookshelves and cereal boxes started. Sometimes I'd have to crouch down to get to the right eye level height. But the point is, if you believe that you have something of value, you just have to have the courage to share it and believe that it will translate and resonate enough. You're not trying to win over the world. Not everyone's going to like what you produce. Not everybody needs what you're going to produce. You just need this core following. Whatever you're delivering will have value to someone. And that's what you're doing on YouTube. I don't go out there to be a celebrity or to be a star. You're going out there to offer something of value to other people.
And, you know, the interesting part of YouTube is that as you get older and I look back 25 years, I can go, once it's on YouTube, guys, it's there. I can go back and pull up January Jones playing in the World Series of Golf and look back and see that I'm still a lousy golfer. But I shared it with the world. And if I can do it and Jennifer can do it, I think any of you listening, you could look into it. It's something you might consider. Don't you agree, Jennifer?
Yes. And it's, again, there are many reasons to go on YouTube. It's first and foremost, it should never be, oh, I want to be a celebrity. That's not it. It's what do you want to share? What do you believe that has value to other people, whether it's entertainment or educational, you decide, or inspirational. And you can start with small steps. You don't have to have all the answers. You just need a few answers to get started. But this is 2024, so there's so many tutorials out there. There's a lot of information. But even if that overwhelms you, just start with your camera. Start with your phone. And you know how to use your phone, so just start there and upload from there.
Well, you're inspiring me because I think it's fun to do new things, and, and for me this is an old thing that I'm going to be going back to. You know, we're going to take a break and hear about 60 years later, who killed Kennedy. And when we come back, we're going to talk about promotion with Jennifer.
Let me ask you a question. Are you still wondering who killed Kennedy? Over 50 years later, the assassination is still a mystery. It is unfinished business for our country. Now, get ready for a theory that you've never heard before, but will make more sense than any other conspiracy theory that you've ever heard in the past. January Jones speaks the unspeakable in her book, Jackie, Ari, and Jack, The Tragic Love Triangle, connecting Jackie and Aristotle Onassis romantically prior to JFK's assassination. Did you know that Ari was Jackie's guest in the White House during the JFK funeral? He was the only non-family member who was invited by Jackie to stay there during the funeral. Aristotle Onassis was one of the wealthiest men in the world, with the means, the motive, and the money to order an assassination that was the perfect crime of the last century. Ari needed class, and Jackie needed cash. They were perfect for each other. Now, what is Camelot? It is but another tragic love triangle. Jackie, Ari, and Jack is available at JanuaryJones.com, Amazon.com, and Audiobooks.com, read by Ms. Jones.
Welcome back with Jennifer. This is so much fun to be chatting with you. You know, you've produced hundreds of video lessons, so you're actually out there teaching people things. Tell us, beyond the revenue, how has YouTube benefited your career, and what has it actually done for your career?
It's been amazing. First and foremost, because at the beginning, in 2007, there wasn't even a hint of monetization. Everyone who was posting was doing it for free. I did it for 2 years straight. And then I thought, well, I need to contribute to the household income. And so I decided to offer private lessons through Skype. There wasn't Zoom back then. It was Skype.
Okay.
And I decided to make a quick announcement that I'm offering private lessons. And less than 24 hours later, I had enough students to start. That's a demonstration of if you're already putting out content and showing what you can deliver, what's of value, when you then move to some sort of paid service like that, it's much easier to connect because the connection's actually already there. So back in the day when I did get certified, back in the 90s, we had to prepare this physical teaching portfolio, you know, with the pictures, my lesson plans and all that. What I didn't realize is that YouTube is my portfolio. I haven't had to show a resume in a long time because people know who I am, what I can do. And then the invitations or, and proposals come. I haven't had to prove anything. And if you want to see the qualifications, I put that on my website. But again, I haven't had to show anyone my resume in ages because it's usually already clear what I do, what I can offer. It's been wonderful. But I really, really love, because people ask, they think, oh, you're online, you work independently. You're not connected to anybody. You're like in isolation. Don't you get lonely? Or like, absolutely not. I've been so connected with so many people, you know, not just US, worldwide, but I've gained so many new collaborations. I have new colleagues, not to mention all the connections with the learners and the students. So it's been incredible to have the connection.
Once you truly and from a good heart have a service, something to offer people, once it goes on YouTube, it takes on a life of its own. And this podcast, for example, is going out on over 100 network channels. And I can't believe the numbers. And I wonder, who are these people? But they're everyone like you and me. And everyone's pretty much on the internet these days, aren't they, Jennifer?
They are. It's a wonderful place to connect. You have to find that balance, of course, between your online and offline activity. But still, it's brought so many beautiful connections. And that's what I really want to focus on, is saying YouTube is amazing. And I love the idea of having this global reach. But although numbers are somewhat important, and it's one way to measure our growth, I really think if we only focus on the numbers, you're only seeing part of the picture. So that's one of the big things I want to tell everyone and anyone, online and offline, is that we have to look beyond numbers, whether we're talking about age, revenue, subscribers. It's just part of the picture. And I would personally bring in stories, connections, experiences, contributions. Those are the things that really matter.
You know, it's interesting. I was intrigued. I turned 50 30 years ago. What is it like to turn 50 this day and this time and in this crazy world? Tell me some of your thoughts about turning 50, Jennifer.
Well, it's not so much something that I feared, but of course, when you hit the big milestone ones, you have those moments of reflection of like, where am I? What am I doing? Have I done enough? And that really was the impetus to write. I like to write, and I knew I needed to reflect. But you're among those people who inspire me to know that it's how you live your life. It's so much of your mindset and your choices of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. 80 can show itself in many different ways. How do you want it to be for you? And so I want to feel useful in some ways. I want to be proud of the wisdom and life experience I've gained. So it's a balance. But I have so many people who've inspired me to age well and wisely and in a healthy way. My dear cousin has been on YouTube a couple of times that when she didn't know what it went to go live, I had her go live with me not too long ago. She will be 96 this year. Yeah. But bless her soul, Gina is a woman who inspires me because she has so much laughter, life, love. And I would be so happy to be 96 with her energy.
Me too. Sign me up.
You know, I feel young. I feel young. I know. I'm hopeful. I'm excited that I hit this point, and I know that I have the wisdom now, choices in the second half of my life, and I have good models in front of me. Thank you, January, of how to live.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wrote my first book, incidentally, when I was 50, and I was hitting. That is a big number. I don't care how you look at it. 50 is a biggie. And I wrote that first book. And the thing about a book that was kind of my thought pattern was it's kind of like planting a tree. Once you write it, it's for real. It'll be there forever. And it has your name on it. It's kind of a ego thing into writing a book. And then you go on to write five or six more. Talking about enticing people on YouTube, I had my 18-year-old granddaughter who had to do an interview about me for her English class. I invited her on my show, and we did it was a conversation from 18 to 80. And we turned the tables, and she asked me all the questions. And it's one of my favorite experiences is getting to people to do this that have never done it before.
Yes. Yes. That's what it's all about is having the courage to take some risks. And it doesn't mean skydiving. It could be, but it's just trying things that are new. Sometimes it's opening up and sharing something that you have within you, whether it's your knowledge or your talent or whatnot. And sometimes it's also stepping out of your comfort zone, because I think that's also the key is are you still growing in some way? My cousin Gina is taking organ lessons.
Wow.
So you keep learning in some way. Challenge yourself and enjoy it.
Okay. That's a challenge to our senior listeners. I want you all to do that. You know, you have a chapter called Finding Your Inner Rock Star in your book. Who is your inner rock star? Who do you have in here?
I wonder if you can guess. If I tell you, my hometown is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and there's a children's show that was based out of that city. Won't you be?
Mr. Rogers.
Yes. Oh. Fred Rogers is my rock star. So I'm shattering the myth, guys, that to be a YouTuber, you have to be this young, hip, cool rock star. The idea is you have to become your own rock star. But to do that, you can think about the kinds of performers and celebrities that you admire and respect and think why. What is it about them as people? What's in their character? What's their style? And what would you like to emulate? And when I thought about it, of all the people who are on TV and have a certain presence, I thought Fred Rogers, you know, he was not the hippest, coolest guy. The people might have preferred, Sesame Street he delivered something of value, and he was welcoming and kind, and he was a true educator, and he left his mark. He made a contribution, and he took his young learners out into the neighborhood to show him things. I've done a couple of episodes like that, out of my, and so that's what it is. Who will inspire you?
This is wonderful because he's one of my personal heroes. I was a very young widow with two small children, and we made Mr. Rogers' show our dinner time. We sit down at a little table, watch him, and he became like our substitute father. Mm. What an incredible man. And his spirit was so pure and kind. And it's such an amazing